So do any of you know anyone who asks a lot of questions? Oh, yeah. Well, if you've had children or you have nieces and nephews or grandchildren, they have a tendency to ask a lot of questions, don't they? I happen to work with someone that asks a lot of questions. No, on a daily basis. Yep. I also have a friend who asks a lot of questions. In fact, she has asked so many questions over the years, every single time we get together, that we have a nickname for her. We call her the probe. Because she not only just asks questions like general knowledge, trivia kind of things that she's wondering about, but she also asks kind of personal, she gets in there and asks you really deep things. And so she has no fear when it comes to asking questions. The thing that's a little bit crazy making about her questions is that even if she asks a question and about something and you answer her, then she argues with you and says that's not what it means. She drives me crazy. And so to the point where she will get out any kind of reference material she can find in order to prove you wrong. So it started out years ago when we first met. She would always get the dictionary out. She would, if I'd use a word, she'd say, what's that word mean? And I'd say what the word is, and she'd say, that's not what it means. And then she'd go get the dictionary. It's now progressed, now that we have cell phones, then it progressed to Google. Let's Google everything, right? But now, this just happened in December when I was at her house, now it is Siri. I don't believe that. Ask Siri. And so here we are. Yep. Patricia the probe. Anyway, so you might say that my friend is filled with insatiable curiosity. Albert Einstein said this about curiosity. He said, I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious. I don't know if I believe that for 1 minute, but that's what he said about himself. He is passionately curious. And he says the important thing is not to stop questioning, because curiosity has its own reason for existing. So I guess if it's good enough for Einstein, it's good enough for us, right? But there was someone else that we know that had a curious nature. And that person, yep, was Jesus. Jesus had this way of not only disarming people with his questions, but he also had a way of gathering them in with his questions. And we see a little bit of that in our passage today. John the Baptist has just baptized Jesus, and he's witnessed this amazing appearance of what we call a theophany, where the heavens opened and a dove descended, and then there was this voice that said, this is my son who brings me much happiness. And John is like, that's it. I am sold. This is the guy. This is the guy. And so he's shouting it to anyone that can hear. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is it. He's the one. You need to follow him, not me. And two of John's disciples hear him saying this. Here he is. Behold the Lamb of God. And so Jesus is walking along. John says this statement. And two of John's disciples start following Jesus. Like literally following him. Like walking behind him down the road following him. And so Jesus turns around and he asks them this interesting question. He doesn't say, what are you doing? Why are you following me? Who are you looking for? What do you want? He says, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Very curious. It could mean something as simple as, are you looking for a place to stay? Did you drop something on the ground? What are you looking for? Or maybe it has this richer, deeper meaning. What are you looking for in your life? The disciples answer just as interestingly. They don't actually answer his question. Well, they answer his question with a question. They say, where are you staying? They didn't say, who are you? Or John told us to follow you. Or why is John saying that about you? They say, where are you staying? Which is, I think, an interesting response. They're willing to ask a question. They're not sure they're ready to go full in, but they're curious enough to try and figure it out, to follow. And Jesus then gives this invitation. Come and see. Take a chance. Follow me. Be open. Suspend certainty. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm staying down the road a bit, you know, where the road turns and there's this little cottage. Well, they didn't call them cottages. What do they call them? Houses with a thatched roof and there's a carpenter's shack out back. He doesn't say, yeah, that's where I am. He says, come and see. What would have happened if he'd said, I'm staying down the road a bit by that olive tree that hangs over, and would that have stopped the conversation? But he says, come and see. It's open. It's inviting. Come join me. So it's been this interesting couple of weeks since you chose your star words. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, we have these yellow stars that have a word on them. You're supposed to pick a star, and it has a word for you on the back, and that's going to be your word for the year. And I did not choose the words. Well, I chose the words, but I didn't choose your word for you. I think the Holy Spirit chose your word for you. And so, because of that, I've gotten some interesting conversations coming my way from a few of you. Some of you have said, that is the perfect word for me. Others have said, I have no idea why I got that word. Some others have said, I've already been doing that. Or, I know why I got that word. Or, my favorite one I got was, that word is boring. So, as we're thinking about that, my question is, are you sure you know what your word means for you? Already, you already know. Maybe it means something deeper. Maybe on the surface you think it means something, but maybe there's something deeper. Are you curious enough to be open to a different possibility? Because certainty and curiosity are kind of opposite from each other, aren't they? If you're certain about something, if you already know, then you're not open to seeing what might be going on over here. If you're sure about something or someone, will you still be open to learn more? Will you even be curious enough to get to know them more? If you think you know the answer, are you even going to bother asking the question? I would say that probably one of the biggest misunderstandings that happen in relationships are when we are absolutely positive we know what that person is thinking or what they've been doing. And we've got it all figured out, and so we respond knowing that we know what is on their mind. Lots of fights and arguments happen that way. I was married 25 years, so I do know that much. If the disciples had made up their minds already about Jesus without getting to know him, would they have followed? Have you ever been so sure about someone and then been surprised to find out that you were wrong? You had them all figured out, and then you found out you were totally off base. I have. I'll admit it. And it's really embarrassing, isn't it? A lot of hurt and pain is caused in the name of certainty. Just ask any person of color. Martin Luther King Jr., in his I Have a Dream speech, said these words, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Judging someone based on their outward appearance, or race, or gender, or ethnicity, or political status, religion, sexuality, gender, I already said that, marital status, you fill in the blank. When we just look at the outside of a person without taking the time to get under the surface and understand who they are as a person and what makes them tick, we are not being open. We are not being curious. It's what we call hubris or arrogance, much like the Pharisees. And it's this closing off. It's like, you have nothing to teach me. And this is that body language that we use. I'm closed off to you. I'm not interested in anything more you have to say. Curiosity, on the other hand, requires humility. It requires maybe admitting that you don't know everything. And it's kind of an openness. It's an opening up. Jesus modeled curiosity throughout his whole ministry to everyone he met. You just have to read the Gospels to see it. Did Jesus model his ministry like this, or did he model his ministry like this? He had an openness about him, a curiosity for people, of wanting to get to know them at a deep level. And in turn, his disciples learned that openness as well. They had this openness about Jesus and because of Jesus. And in return, they received this amazing invitation to come and see. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we get so stuck sometimes. We think we know. I'm guilty of it. Every person in this room is guilty of it. We make determinations about people and situations all the time, thinking that we know, without being open and curious to maybe thinking about things in a different way. And so we come before you and we're grateful this day that Jesus is someone who taught us how to live a different way, how to treat people in an open way and be curious about them and treat them as human beings. And so we ask, Lord, that we could be more like you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.